this morning, but I thank the Lord He's here with us this morning. Amen. Let's just sing this song this morning. Something beautiful, something good. He's done something beautiful in our lives. Amen.
Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. And strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He never does anything halfway. And we can say He's still working on us this morning, but it's something beautiful. Amen. Let's all stand as we get ready as before Brother Colley comes with our responsive reading this morning. Let's sing this little song, Majesty, Worship His Majesty.
Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His own. His anthem raise, so exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, glorify Christ Jesus the King. Worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and grace. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, love glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Able to be here, we think we still have a desire in our hearts to worship God. We look at this world, how Satan rages. Young people leaving this world, not ready to go. Old people leaving this world, just not ready to go. A couple of these people that prayed for this morning, they were longtime friends. We grew up together. Sometimes we were neighbors, and we did things together. He died Friday, and they're getting ready for his funeral. And she died on Monday. So now they have to have both of them filmed together this coming week. And a young friend of mine, his brother passed away about 2 weeks. His sister passed away about 3 weeks ago. And his brother hanged himself, which was just 17. And so, but Satan, he is trying to destroy all. So when we come together, let it be totally dedicated to serve God, and that he get us ready.
Right.
So when he call us, we'll be ready to go.
Yes.
Because we just know not when the hour is that we'll be leaving here.
Right.
But he provide a way for us, and we'll just take it. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to read this morning from Psalm 135, verses 1 through 14. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are ever grateful and thankful for all that you do for us. Lord, all that you give us. Lord, you promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So God, let us accept what you are offering unto us. Let us grow stronger, Lord. Let us have love, Lord, always, one to another. God, and bless and guide and lead us, Father. Wherever we go, let us know that we are walking in your footsteps. Because Satan would have his way with us if he could. And, Lord, destroy us and make us turn aside from him. But, Jesus, please, help us and help all that will accept you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 135. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise unto his name, for it is pleasant.
For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure.
For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightning for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries.
He smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast.
who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, unto Pharaoh upon all his servants.
Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings.
Zion, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan. The name of the Lord endureth forever, and our memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord is the judge of his people, and will intend them concerning his servants. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Worship the Lord in tithes and offerings this morning. And Brother Danny, you mind helping us this morning, brother? Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for another opportunity to come out and hear your word, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We pray, Father, that you just come and be with us in the service. Father, we pray that you just give the people what they have need of, Father.
Yes, sir.
Lord Jesus, we pray that you just bless this tithe and offering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let's sing this little song. He brought me out of the miry clay. Can you see?
My heart was distressed, neath Jehovah's dread frown, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down. I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me up to golden day. And he brought me out of the miry clay. Set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He placed me upon the strong rock by his side. My steps were established, and here I'll abide. No danger of falling, for here I remain. But stand by his grace until the ground I gain. For he brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He gave me a song, 'twas a new song of praise. By day and by night, its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. And he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. I'll sing of his wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise him till all men his goodness shall see. I'll sing of salvation at home and abroad, till many shall hear the truth and trust in God. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. Yes, he brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise. Hallelujah.
Amen. How many's glad to be on the rock this morning? Amen. A rock of revelation. Amen. You can't be moved from it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to sing this song, Come Unto Me, and I Will Give You Rest. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for all of His promises unto us. Amen.
Hear the blessed Savior calling me oppressed. I'm heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care, and come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care. Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus, He will give you rest. And come unto me, and I will give you by temptation often conquered been, has a sense of weakness brought distress within. Christ will sanctify you if you claim His best. Let's all stand for the Holy Spirit. He will give you rest and come unto me, and I will give you.
So glad He's calling to each one to come unto Him. Amen. If you have a burden this morning, there's a place to lay it. as Brother Bob was praying this morning, and we bring our prayer requests and our needs, just lay them at His feet. Amen. Are you ready for the word this morning? Amen. Looking forward to what the Lord has bring through Brother Luis this morning and Brother Bob this afternoon. And amen. I'm ready to feed this morning. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus, "Open the Eyes of My Heart," as Brother Luis comes this morning.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You.
Jesus, good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I trust that you all are doing well this morning. Praise God. Appreciate each and one of you who overcame and came out this morning. You know, you overcame the devil when you got up out of the bed this morning. You say, you know what, I'm going to church. I'm going to church, and that's an overcoming. It's an overcoming. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. We just continue to pray for those that are out, the brothers who are out still at the men's meeting in Tennessee. I believe they had a service this morning. They're probably in service right now. Just remember them in prayer, and the Lord will just protect them on their way back. Also, remember Brother Wade and Sister June. I'm not sure exactly when they'll be heading back, today or tomorrow, but just remember them in your prayers. Brother Terrence, Sister Lisa, they're traveling. And anyone else that's traveling, you just remember them in your prayers. And good to see Brother Peter back again. And each and every one of you, it's good to see you all. Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, I don't want to hold up too much of your time. I'm not good about preliminaries and things like that. So let's just go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll start reading the Word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for another opportunity to serve You, Lord. Another day that You've given us, Lord God Almighty, to, Father God, not just to receive blessings, but also to be a blessing to someone else, Lord. Father God, we pray, Lord, that You would just forgive us for all of our sins. If there is anything in our hearts this morning, Lord, that would hinder Your Holy Spirit from moving in here, Lord God, Lord, may You forgive us, Lord Jesus. And we just place it all under the blood of Jesus Christ this morning, Father God, because, Lord God, we can't forgive our own sin. Neither can we save our own self, Father. But it's a work that You've already done, Father God. And as our brother Bob was speaking this morning, Lord God, it's all in You, Lord God. And so now all we got to do is put our trust in that work that You already did, made for us, Father. We ask You, Father, to help us to have faith in Your word and what Your word says about us. This morning, Lord Jesus, let us leave here edified and You glorified, Father, and You have Your way here this morning, Father. Let me lay aside my thinking, my own thinking, my lips, anything that would be a hindrance to Your people, Lord God, let me not say it, but Lord, those things, Father, that would edify Your people and that would draw them closer to You, Lord God. Grant it, Lord Jesus, we pray and ask You these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to do my best here. I got my phone connected here because it seems like the screen is bigger on the phone than it is on the tablet here. So we'll use the phone here. But I want to talk this morning because I know that there's a lot of questions and a lot of still, you mentioned this about representation of predestination. Amen. And there's only two places in the message where I see where Brother Branham mentions this phrase. Representation, in one place he mentions a representation of predestination. And then the other one he mentions representation from predestination. And I want you to understand that it's both the same thing. But this is very important for you to solidify in your walk with God. Because, many of us, when we come into the message, we hear these phrases, that seed that was in you and all that. But what does that mean? Amen. And I know we talk about it many times, but I want to just break it down even more. Amen. So you just stay alert, stay awake, get on the plane with me this morning. Let the pilot, amen, this morning take care, amen. You just receive, amen. As the people coming down the aisle, as the Holy Spirit coming down the aisle, giving you what you need, amen. Amen. You just ask and say, Lord, I need this. As you're riding on the plane, amen. As you're on the plane, the lady that comes by and says, what do you want? What do you want? Peanuts? You want pretzels? What do you want? They give it to you, right? That's the same thing you're going to do this morning. Amen. Lord, I need this. Amen. Say, through this, I can have it. And he'll just give it to you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So let's just read Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And the Bible says here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Amen. This has nothing to do with you, but it's all in him. Amen. And Paul makes it very clear here, according to the good pleasure of his will. Praise the Lord Jesus, of his will. So you may be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. All right. Can you all see that okay? If I need to zoom in a little bit, I can do that. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, this kind of gives a little break to the ones in the back. They're the ones who normally scroll the quotes and the scriptures, and so this really helps out. I'm trying this out. Okay, so Brother Branham says here in the message, the Smyrnian Church Age, he says the following. He says, down through the centuries we could go, we find a Moses, a Jeremiah, a John the Baptist. And each one of these were God's eternal thoughts expressed in its season. Amen. So John the Baptist, the prophets, amen. Those were thoughts expressed. Amen. God thought about them. They were coming. They were going to do a work. And they came in their time to do what they were supposed to do. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Then we come to Jesus, the Logos. He was the perfect. Watch. He was the perfect and complete thought expressed. And he became known as the Word. That is what he is. I like what he says that. He is. Amen. He's ever present. And forever will be. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Now it says that he hath chosen us in him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. That means that we were right there with him. Watch. In the mind and thoughts of God. Amen. All right? Yes. Because you could stop right there and say that means you were right there with him and that's it. And then you're wondering, okay, were we there physically or were we there spiritually? Where were we? I always remember what Brother Dale always used to say. You know, we have this mentality that when we talk about that verse in the Bible where Job, God asked Job, "Where were you where I laid the foundations of the world?" And the stars were singing and the sons of God were shouting for joy, right? So we have this, at least I did. And Brother Dale hit it right in the nail when we started coming here, that you have this mentality that you were kind of somewhere in God and you were kind of just dancing and you kind of like a bunch of sails just moving around, you know, just shouting and dancing and screaming or next to him doing something, right? But Brother Branham said that before the beginning, amen, in the beginning, we were nothing. Amen. And we'll read here in Genesis later on that what was in the beginning? In the beginning was God. In the beginning, God. Amen. That was it. In the beginning, God. Now it's clear that we were with him, but how were we with him? You see? And these are the things that you hear loosely in preachings, especially in evangelistic type preachings. That seed that was in you and you were with him, and that's good, that's good. But let's break that down. What does that mean? Because if we were with him physically, somewhere with God physically, then that would mean we would have, it's like the way the Mormons believe, you know, that we were there with him physically, that we were, that we had a physical condition there, and that throws the scripture completely out of line. So it can't be that way, right? So what is Brother Branham talking about? Amen. He says here that we were right there with him in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. Think about this, saints, that the when was the lamb slain? Before the foundation of the world, right? But did he physically die back there? Well, really, there was no need to back then because sin hadn't come to its culmination. Eve had not even sinned. Adam had not even sinned. As a matter of fact, they were not even born. They were not even created. So why would the lamb have to die back then? No, God thinks it first. God knows that it's going to happen, but it has to come to earth to physically manifest itself. Jesus, the Lamb of God, had to physically come to earth and physically die. Just like you were in the mind and the thoughts of God, amen. And he knew you before the foundation of the world, but you physically had to come to this earth to manifest what God predestinated you to be in this hour. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. That God had a plan for me. God had a plan for you. That you don't come here just to come here. Amen. Just to fill space or to fill some time or to fill, to warm a bench. Amen. But you have a purpose in this hour. Young people, you have a purpose in this hour. Maybe it's not to preach. Maybe it's not to be a deacon. Maybe it's not. Amen. But God has a purpose for you that you can minister to somebody else eventually, some way, somehow through your life. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now watch, I love what Brother Branham says here. Now we're going to do a lot of reading this morning, and I apologize. But if you love the message, you don't mind reading the message. Amen. I mean, we're message believers here, right? So we read the message. And if you don't read the message, then you get the chance to read it this morning. Praise God. With him in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. That gives, watch this now, that gives an eternal quality to the elect. What does? The fact that we were in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. Now you got to be careful with that, because do you believe that Judas was in the mind of God? Was Hitler in the mind of God? Did God not know that they were going to come? That they were going to be here on earth? God knows all things, right? So what is he talking about? Amen. Praise God. What is he talking about? And that points, that's what leads back to foreknowledge predestination. Amen. That gives an eternal quality to the elect. You can't get away from that. And I'm so glad we can't. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, as I always tell my testimony, we went through churches. We started out with the Catholics. I'm a Latino, so I was a Catholic, and that's all I need for about 10, 11 years of my life. Catholicism. I went and I dipped my hands in the holy water. I did this. I know all about that. Yeah, I know, Sister, and I know you know that. I did First Communion. I stuck my tongue out in front of the priest so that he can put the Eucharist in my mouth. I did all of it. But something, we weren't satisfied with that. My parents weren't satisfied with that. Amen. Jehovah's Witness came knocking at our door one day. We want to talk about this Watchtower magazine. Well, my parents, they were the kind of people that they listened to people. They gave people the benefit of the doubt, you know. So we would listen to them, and we started going to church with them. We went there for about a year, year and a half. Wasn't something that fulfilled. Then we started going to the Baptist church, and that's where we actually accepted what it was to receive salvation. Back in the Catholic and in the Jehovah's Witness, we didn't know what that was. What it was to receive salvation, accept the Lord Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior, receive forgiveness of your sins, amen. And we were with them for a while. Things happened, things changed, you know, people change and circumstances take place. And we started visiting the Wesleyan church after that. I'm telling you, we're going down these seven church ages. That's what I tell people. Amen. I feel like I went down through all the seven church ages, all the churches I've visited. I know what denomination is like. I've seen it. And after the Wesleyan church, my parents just were not satisfied. And we went back to the Baptist church. From the Baptist church, we started going to the Pentecostal church for a little bit. Still, something was just not right. The message of the hour, amen. Somebody talked to us about the message back in Colombia, where I'm from, amen. And that just solidified something right there and then. And that's what we were wanting, desiring through this whole time. We just didn't know. It was God, amen, looking for us, and we found Him, amen. Praise God. And I just thank God for the message of the hour, amen. It clarifies things. Praise the Lord. Now. So we were talking, we were reading this morning, we are chosen and predestinated in Him. Verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Praise God. How many desire to be holy? Amen. How many desire perfection? Yes. Amen. But you fail every day. You probably failed coming here to church this morning, trying to get your kids ready. And you may have shouted at them or screamed at them or did something. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. And see, that's that desire in you that wants to be holy, that wants to be perfect. Amen. Is in you. Amen. But keep feeding on the word. Amen. It takes circumstances of failure in order for you to learn lessons. Right? Amen. And sometimes it might take for you to fail a test once or twice so that you could say, okay, I know the answer now. And the answer this morning is in the Word. Yes, praise the Lord Jesus. Is in Christ Jesus. And we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, representation from predestination. This is what I was talking about. There are two quotes. Now before we read those quotes, I want us to look at the meaning of the word represent. All right. The meaning of the word represent means to bring clearly before the mind. So when Brother Branham would talk about representation of predestination, what was he having in his mind? Remember, we were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, right? Right? So all we were just thoughts, amen, in the mind of God. Just like you have a thought, right? You've never been to the jungle before. But you have a thought in your mind of what the jungle looks like. Because of what you've seen, and maybe in videos or pictures, or somebody maybe may have told you about it. But you don't know what it truly looks like or how it really feels until you actually go to the jungle. Right? Same thing with God. Amen. We were just thoughts. We were images in the mind of God, I guess you could say. He was thinking of us. Amen. But we have to physically come here to compare, amen, to come exactly what he was thinking about us at the beginning, you see? Praise God. So you're the way you look was predestinated by God. The way your nose is shaped. And my wife could say, Filipinos have a complex about their nose, you know. And they look at people with the chiseled nose, you know. Some of you who have chiseled noses, oh, they love those people. So some of them may say, oh, why did he predestinate me with this nose? But he knew you needed that nose. That kind of nose. Because that was the kind of nose that would match exactly your face. Amen. The kind of eyes, the color of your eyes, the shape of your mouth. Amen. Whether you're a boy or a girl, God saw all that before the foundation of the world. I mean, we serve a mighty God this morning. And you know, in one place, Brother Branham says that you think the virgin birth was amazing. And then we do. Well, that's an incredible thing. He says, but it's actually more incredible the fact how you came to this earth. Amen. It wasn't a virgin birth, but the way you came, God, amen, put this one with this one and this one with that one and this one, amen, to make you. Yes. That is actually more incredible. Yes. God's predestination is awesome. Amen. Amen. So the word represent means to bring clearly before the mind. I can't remember why I put present there. I guess maybe present. Amen. To serve as a sign or symbol of. So you see, for example, we have the tabernacle here, or the Holy of Holies right there. If you can look, we talked about it the other day, brought it over here to the piano. That is a representation of the real thing. Amen. That is not the real thing. That's just a representation, right? That is just as a sign or a symbol of the real thing, right? To serve as the counterpart or image of. To describe as having a specified character or quality. Ah. To serve as a specimen, example of, instance of, or instance of, to form an image or representation of in the mind. Watch this, to recall in memory. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't it awesome to think that God, amen, when he thinks about you, he thinks wonderful things about you. I mean, Jeremiah says it. Yes. Jeremiah says, I have thoughts of you that you don't know of. Amen. Not thoughts of evil, but thoughts of peace. Yes. Amen. And to bring you what? To an end that, well, you got there by chance. No. You think that you're going to get to where you're going to get by chance? No, God knew that you would get there, amen. And he made the way for you to get to that point. Praise God. Now, he didn't force you to. He didn't push you to. That's one thing, amen, that we need to make clear. God doesn't push anybody to do anything. I'm a Christian because I God made me to be a Christian. That can't be, because that overrules free moral agency. You have a choice in it as well. But that's the reason why God could predestinate, because in God's foreknowledge, he knew you would choose him. Therefore, he could predestinate. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Amen. Now, the word representation means the action of speaking or acting on behalf of someone, or the state of being so represented. The description or portrayal of someone or something in a particular way or as being of a certain nature. So God, amen, and we'll read here in just a moment. God had a representation of you, of how you would be and what you would do before the foundation of the world. You believe that? That God saw you before the foundation of the world. Now, you weren't running in there anywhere with him. No, it can't be. Because that negates then Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Right? Before there was anything. I mean, how can you be before the world and the earth and this heaven was created? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God. You were in God. That's why he knew you. Amen. Praise God. Now, like I said, we're going to read a lot of quotes. Just be patient with me. But I hope you understand something. I hope this helps solidify it for you a little bit more. Amen. Because I'll just say this, saints. You know, when you're listening to the word and you're listening to ministers preach and you know, and that comes across as, you know, that seed, that germ of life down in you. You know, they use that a lot, which is things that Brother Branham said. That's what they're saying. Right? You can say amen to that. Amen. If you understand how in your mind what Brother Branham was talking about. Right? In your mind, you could say amen. Don't leave the preacher there to... I ain't saying amen to that. I've been taught better. No. He's there trying to labor and present the word of God in the way he understands it at the moment. Maybe he hasn't come to what you understand right now. Have patience with people. Have patience with ministers. Have patience with those that bring forth the word. Now, if it's blatant false doctrine, you don't have to say amen to that. You don't say amen to false doctrine. But you be patient with ministers. Maybe they might not have come to that revelation that you have come. But you be patient. And you be sweet. And you be kind. Like Brother Bob was talking about this morning. Be humble. Be meek. Right. Amen. Because those are the things that are going to bring people in.
Yes.
Amen. Maybe you be the one to teach someone. And maybe you go to that minister and say, hey, brother, have you ever thought about this? No, I never have. Your humility and your love brought that brother closer walk to God. Is that okay?
Amen.
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 Sometimes we get this attitude that he didn't say it the way I believe it. No. That ain't going to win anybody. That ain't going to help nobody. It's only helping yourself. And it's helping only your ego. Amen. Amen. Raise my hand like Brother Wade. Amen. Praise God. We got to be more humble in this hour. I don't know why I needed to say that, but I do. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, why he said, you've told the truth. Brother Branham said, why? Improving his word. Why? He said, you've told the truth. See, because you've had five. This is, he's talking about the woman at the well. And the one you now have is not your husband. See, watch. Something happened. See, something took life. Right?
Yes.
Now, if it hadn't have been in there to begin with. Now, watch. I want you to notice that every time Brother Branham mentions something like this, that makes it seem like you have something in you, that you came with something in you. He always uses the word if.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just read all the quotes in regards to the seed of the seed, the germ. He always puts the word if. And so what is if? Amen. If it, I had it here written down, but if is a conjunction that means a condition. There had a conditional conjunction, right? If. Right?
Yes.
If she hadn't have had representation from predestination.
Come on.
Right? Yes. Now, if it hadn't been in there to begin with, if she hadn't have had representation from predestination. Now, what is representation? We just read me. Image, right?
Yes.
God had an image of you, thought of you,
yes.
But that wasn't you. Right? So the woman at the well had to come physically, amen, in order to fulfill what God thought about her at that moment, right?
Yes.
God thought about that moment right there before the foundation of the world. That time at the well, God thought about it. God knew all about it. But it had to come and happen, right? So that is what Brother Branham is talking about. If she hadn't had representation from predestination. Now, predestination, what is it? It's God's foreknowledge, because God could foresee it, therefore he could predestinate. In other words, predestinate means, amen, predetermined, right? If you think about it, it's not just the elect or the Christian that's predestinated either. Amen. The sinner out there, Hitler was predestinated. He had a predestination. He had a predetermined place that he was going to come to. Right? But through God's foreknowledge, God knew that this woman at the well, amen, she was going to respond to the word in a specific way. And therefore, he could predestinate that moment, that time. Amen. That's the time that she was going to see the Messiah. Yes. Now, to make it clear, that did not give her the new birth. That didn't give her the new birth. I don't know, a lot of people in the message, they think that was because God, Jesus had not died and resurrected and come in the form of the Holy Ghost. I believe that woman was probably one of the 120 in the upper room. I don't know that. But it gave her a form of salvation to continue on in the word, because she recognized the word for that hour. If she hadn't had representation from predestination, it have never took hold. What would have never took hold? In other words, that moment would not have taken place. If it wasn't, if God had not seen it. That's the reason why Jesus, you remember the story. Jesus said, I needs to go by Samaria. Yeah. Didn't he say that? Yeah. And he told his disciples, amen, to come with him. And then they went out to go get something to eat. And they come back and they find Jesus talking to this woman, this ill-famed woman. And they were like, Jesus was talking to her. A prostitute? Yeah, he was having a one-on-one conversation with her. Wasn't even scared. Didn't even care what anybody was thinking. Didn't even the rabbis and the priests were probably walking by there. He could care less. He was concerned about fulfilling what he saw before the foundation of the world. Amen. That's very important to him, because that is part of the word. Amen. And if he saw you before the foundation of the world, that means you are part of the word. And God is going to do whatever it takes to bring you in. Amen. No matter what he has to do. Amen. He's going to do it. Praise God. Because you are very important to him. And he took that and he started talking to this woman. And this woman, because she had already received, she had already, at some point in her life, she knew the word, because she told Jesus, she said, we know that Messiah will come and do these things first. Somebody, whether it was a Sunday school teacher or her mom or her dad, somebody, an uncle or a brother, had explained that word to her. And when that word come to her at that particular point, in that way, she connected with it. And that representation up from predestination, that image that God had seen in the beginning, amen, that he predestinated, amen, for that woman to come to that point, it came to life. That's what sparked to life. And it changed her, but she still needed the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine? She went running to the city and saying, come see a man who told me all the things that I've done. Isn't this the very Messiah? Amen. And a woman without the Holy Ghost, she went and did that. Yes. What can you and I do with the Holy Ghost? Amen. Instead, we get scared about talking to somebody about the Lord. We're ashamed of the Lord sometimes. And we say we got the Holy Ghost. That woman at the well, amen, she put us to shame. Well, I just got to act cool, you know. I have my shades and everything, you know. I can't let people know that I'm a Christian, even though I am. I love you, Lord. I love you, but, you know, that's hypocritical. Amen. You got to be who you are, who God called you to be. And if you love people, as Brother Bob was talking about this morning, you would want them to hear this word. You would want an opportunity to speak to somebody about God. Many times when I get on the plane and we're traveling, amen, normally I'm asleep or trying to study, you know, especially on our last trip to Central America. I had bunches of sermons I needed to preach. So I was in there, you know, taking the time to study. But in my mind, I'm thinking, Lord, if you give me an opportunity to speak to the person next to me or whatever, I will do it. Amen. I will do it. And I've had conversations, good conversations with people about God on the plane. That's a good thing. Amen. Praise God. Wake up. Amen. All right. So Brother Branham continues to say, there stood priests there, said, this man is Beelzebub. See, no representation. In other words, in God's mind, he did not see them except in the word. That's what that means. No representation. Not that they didn't have something in them, but the woman at the well did. No. Because where is it? How does it look like? How small is it? How big is it? I've literally heard preachers say that God has physically placed something in you. That's it's not even in the Bible, in much less in the Message. That there's a physical seed inside of you. If it's physical, then why is it, you know, why doesn't it make me thinner, you know, or something, you know. And I want it to make me lose weight or something. If it's something physical, why have they found it? The scientific world hasn't found anything like that. So it can't be something physical. What was Brother Branham talking about? What is the word talking about? Praise God. But you see a lot of people that just jump and shout for it. They're screaming and that's fine. That's good. And we need that. I'm not knocking that. We need that. I love what we had two Sundays ago. Amen. Or last Sunday, I believe it was. Praise God. We need those resets. Amen. We need that. But amen, jump and shout and scream, amen, when you know, when the word, when you understand the word, amen. Praise God. All right, now, eternal life, you always was, right? Now he's talking about eternal life, right? You always, see, you have eternal life, there's only one form of it. There's only one form of it, that's God. Now, what was in the beginning? In the beginning, God. So in the beginning was eternal life. In the beginning, there was eternal life. But you weren't there at the beginning. Right? And you needed to come to this earth to receive eternal life. Right? You were his attribute. He thought of you and knowed you before the foundation of the world. Watch, he says, in his mind. All right? So he solidifies it. Now, let's go a little quicker. So here I got written down that this did not give her eternal life, the woman at the well, in her soul, but salvation to continue believing unto. Yes. Amen? Amen. You, to believe unto. Praise God. Amen. You can have a revelation and not be born again. And there's many people that know that baptism in the name of Lord Jesus Christ is correct. But the fact that you, that revelation is solidified in your life is the fact that you go and do it. Right? Right? It's a knowing. That's just a good thing. A lot of Jews know that what happened in the garden wasn't an apple that was eaten. They know that. But they still need the Holy Ghost. They don't know who the Messiah is. They're still looking for him. So, but just because you recognize these truths of the message doesn't mean that you are born again. Right. Amen. You have to be born again. You have to receive eternal life, right? Yes. Peter said that thou art the Christ without the new birth. He told Jesus that. And Jesus didn't rebuke him. He went along right with him and said and told him what he told him. Amen. That upon this rock I'll build my church. Peter walked on water without the new birth. Right? He didn't have the new birth. He still did. He didn't go to the upper room. He wasn't there yet. But he had walked on water. Can imagine what you and I can do with the Holy Ghost. With the new birth. Amen. Praise God. And Peter saw Jesus and experienced what he experienced there on Mount Transfiguration without the new birth. Right? Praise God. So it doesn't mean because you got a revelation, amen, or a knowledge of, amen, that puts you in the kingdom, amen. It has to be a personal relationship between you and God. Amen. A something down deep in your soul that you feel sorry for what you've done for him, to him. And that you want from now on, amen, you want to live your life for him and only him. Amen. And your mom can't teach you that. Your dad can't teach you that. Your Sunday school teacher can't teach you that. Your pastor can't get you to that. Amen. It's got to be you. Amen. To come to that point. To that point. It's a relationship between you and God. Now, let's go a little bit quicker. Representation of predestination. The future home. Brother Bram says here. Now, notice how we go. After the world's fire baptisms, all germs is gone. Makes it a fit place then for heaven to dwell here on earth. Type now of sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, pass from this dirty, like the little woman was, into the express attribute of God. Now we are the sons of God. Not we will be. We're the attributes of God's thinking. That's right. Amen. Now you say, well, look at this priest. Wasn't he a son of God? It proved he wasn't. Right? He rejected the word for his day. He couldn't recognize what? Did he say, I believe the Bible? Sure. But he couldn't recognize the expressed word of the hour. He only had an intellectual learning from some group that had been back before him. And it's the same thing today. See, I know that's strong, but it's the truth. There was the word as spoken exactly for that day. And he yet was a scholar. Yet he was a renowned person, but he could not recognize it. Why? No matter how scholar he was, anything like that, he still didn't have representation of predestination. In other words, God did not see that man, amen, in his mind before the foundation of the world to accept the word of that hour, which was Jesus Christ in flesh, the Messiah to them, but they did not receive it, right? Only the predestinated will only be the one who does it. Now, why? Again, that makes you feel good, right? Only the predestinated. That seems like God is just dividing. I chose you and not him. I chose her and not her. That's not how Brother Branham is saying it. It's God in his foreknowledge knew that you would come to that point. Therefore, he predestinated you and you received it.
Yes.
Right? Because he could have seen you not receive it, and yet you were still being predestinated to not receive it. Right? Only the predestinated will only be the one who does it. Only can be. And you only can do it because, look, it proves predestination. Because if you've got... Now, see, he's getting ready to use if. Again. If you've got eternal life, you had to be a part of God all times. Because he's always been the one that was there. He's the eternal one. But you didn't come with eternal life. You had to come and receive it when you came here to earth. And that's the confusion that I see people in the message. They think that little seed that God placed in you, all that is a representation in God's mind. Amen. And all you did was come and fulfill what God saw from the beginning. But it's not a little seed of eternal life inside of you, because the seed is the word. Jesus clearly said it in Matthew that the seed is the word. So you've got to receive the word first, and then that word can spring into eternal life inside of you. Remember the woman at the well? She had to hear the word at some point. And then when Jesus the Messiah dealt with her on that point about that word that she heard. And that's when it sparked to life. Yes. Is that clear?
Amen.
Praise God. You had to be a part of God all times. Because he's the only one is eternal. He's the only one. He's the only one is eternal. So you were not eternal only when you received eternal life. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is that clear? You see it. Oh my, think of it. Now, so we were talking about, because of God's foreknowledge, God could predestinate. Now, Brother Banner continues to say, I'm enjoying myself. Praise God. Amen. I hope you are. You know, saints, I was just wrestling, you know, say, Lord, what would we preach? And the Lord just kept bringing me back to this. And you know, I said, it's better just to obey the Lord. Amen. And the message of the rapture, Brother Brown says this, or my son sitting here, when he's talking about Billy Paul. When I was 16 years old, my son was in me. I didn't know him, but he was there. Right? You believe, though, those who had children. Amen. Praise God. But you know what? I'm just thinking of this. Even then, a boy that is born into this world, a little boy and a little girl, if I'm not mistaken, a little boy doesn't start creating sperm as soon as he's a baby. Right? He has to come to a certain age. Then that starts happening. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So in other words, amen, you have to come to a certain point. Receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Receive the seed. Amen. You see? That little boy don't come with sperm, amen, to impregnate somebody when he's born into this world. I'm sorry, I'm coming a little raw. But think about that. He doesn't. He has to come to that point at 11, 12, 13 years old. That's when he can start. Right? I just kind of thought of that, so take it for what it's worth. I didn't know him, but he was there. Now, through a bedding ground, through holy wedlock, he becomes in the image of me. Talking about Brother Billy Paul. I know him. I can fellowship with him. And he come just at that time when it's the right time. Now, so were you in, watch, he says it again, if, a conditional conjunction, if you've got eternal life. And so that means you didn't come with eternal life.
Right.
If he uses the word if.
That's right.
Right? Remember Jesus Satan told Jesus there when he was tempting him. He said, if thou be the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, then command these stones to be turned to bread. Right? It's a conditional conjunction. Right? You were in God before there was ever a world. Right? If you've got eternal life, you were in God before you were in God in Genesis 1:1. If you've got eternal life. Now, is it clear that I've just been reading to you quotes where Brother Branham says, if. If. That means you didn't have. That means if you've only come, if you're only born again. If you've received God's life in you. You're a part, a son of God, an attribute of God. Remember, this is if you've got eternal life. He knew the very age you were coming. He predestinated you to that age. To take that place. And no one else can take it. Don't care how many impersonations and things, you've got to be there because he knew you would be there.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in the beginning, way back, watch, watch what he says, in the beginning.
Yes.
What was in the beginning? In the beginning, God.
Yes.
And God is what? Eternal life.
Yes.
All right? In the beginning, way back, way years ago, before there was a time began, if you are a born-again Christian, if you are a born-again Christian, now, does it say that or not? If you are a born again Christian tonight, you were in God then.
Yes.
Right?
Right?
Your father. That's why when you come into this life, physically here and profess Christianity. You didn't come here as a baby professing Christianity. You had to come to that at a certain point and profess Christianity. Well, everything going wrong, you've wondered why this is, and all this, if you've wondered at it, but one day something struck you. Now, let me point that out here just a moment, because I could just tell you from my personal testimony that as I was growing up, and going through all these nominal churches and growing up as a teenager, I had my friends and they would go out and take their car running over the neighbors, all the neighbors' trash cans with their vehicle. Amen. And doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Putting firecrackers in people's mailboxes and tripping people over. And even though I was there with them, you know, having fun, laughing about it, I would not do it myself. Because I felt bad. Something in me is like, that's not right. You know, that's not right. They're doing that to that girl, making fun of her teeth and all kinds of stuff. That literally happened, you know. Something, and I believe it's the Lord, the angel of the Lord is walking, amen, he's there with you all of your life. Amen, the protective angel, your guardian angel, I guess you could say, right? And God gives him a commission and said, you protect that boy, you protect that girl, amen, because they've got to come to something. Amen. Praise the Lord. But some people just do those things. Now, it doesn't mean that they're not going to come to Christianity. That none of my friends will ever come to Christianity. No, it doesn't mean that. But it just means that you felt bad about things. You just didn't see things the way others saw things. Amen? But that wasn't something that was physically in you. That was just God protecting you, kind of leading you. Amen? Through a guardian angel or whatever. I don't fully understand that. But the word is the seed. And not something physical in you. Amen. How can a physical something, amen, lead you to all these different things in life? Praise the Lord Jesus. All right. I hope I kind of made that a little clear. But one day something struck you. What was it? That life that was down in there. Watch. From the beginning.
Right.
What was the only thing that was eternal from the beginning? It was only God. Now, understand this. If it was already in you, why did it have to strike you? Think about that. If it was already in you, why did it have to strike you? Amen. In other words, you had to hear the word. That's the seed. Amen. That seed was implanted in you. Amen. And then that seed, somehow, you heard it at a Sunday school class. I heard the word, amen, at the Baptist church in a Sunday school class. And that was changing me. That was changing me, but it didn't give me the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was after I came into the messaging, amen, and continued in the word. Amen. That seed, that word that I had heard already in the denominational churches, that came to life. With a furtherance of the word now. A revelation of the word. Is that clear? And I believe that that's what's happened to many of us. Amen. That life that was down in there from the beginning. And if it... Alright. And we read, who was in the beginning? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I want you to... and we'll finish with this. And we'll try to go as quickly as I can. In reading the following quotes... Let's think representation from predestination in God's foreknowledge. All right? And I'm going to read a quote here from the message, The God Who Is Rich in Mercy. Excellent message, by the way. You should go read it. But I interpolated, or I guess you could place, I put in there in blue, where Brother Branham says something about it. And I want you in there to just think, well, what he said there, think representation from predestination in God's foreknowledge. All right? Here we go. Are you ready?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. Now, I might inject just a little bit of doctrine here that I don't. If you don't believe it, all right. And I say to you all, anybody here, if you don't believe it, that's all right. Brother Branham says here, that's all right. That's just okay. I do believe it. I believe that a man, when he is born in this world, that when you're a little baby born in the world, you could not have been here without being the foreknowledge of God. In other words, you could not have been here without having that representation of predestination, because he is infinite and he knows all things. right? And he knew Hitler, and he knew all the Mussolini. He knew all of them, right? And they came to their predestination. It wasn't a predestination of the word, amen. And when that little baby is born into the world, watch, there is something in that baby. If he is ever going to have life, there is a little something in there in that child then. Think now, representation from predestination in God's foreknowledge. Right? Because it can't be something physical, because where is it? And why haven't they found it? It's got to be spiritual. Right? That he comes to, watch, sooner or later. So that doesn't mean he came with it. He comes to sooner or later. That little seed is in him. Representation from predestination and God's foreknowledge. How many believe that the thoughts of God, amen, is God's word? Amen. So the thought of this little baby, amen, is in him. The thought of God is in him. God's representation of predestination is in him. Now watch. Now if you'll take the scriptures plainly, declare that. And when we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, it says, whosoever is born of God, whosoever is born of God. In other words, John is saying, if you are born of God, if you are born of God, doth not commit sin. For watch, for his seed remaineth in him. That seed didn't get in there by your physical birth. That seed got in there if you are born of God. By you hearing the word. Amen. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Because he is born of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. And the word seed. Oops. And the word seed means. In the strong. In the Greek. Says. From sparrow. Is the word sperma. Which is where you get the word sperm. It means something sown. Amen. Seed by implication, offspring, especially a remnant. Praise God. In the Virgin Mary, praise the Lord, that seed had to be sown, amen, in her. Right? She didn't have it, but then at some point she did have it because it manifested a pregnancy, right? Praise the Lord Jesus. That's the same thing with you and me. We didn't have a seed, but then eventually we were inseminated with the seed of God. Amen. That made us pregnant. And eventually it came to a new birth. Right? Eventually it brought Christ out of you. But it had to start with the seed, which is the word. Amen. Now, St. John does not say cannot commit sin, but cannot be a sinner. Amen. In other words, you can fail, amen, but you won't stay there. You won't stay there wallowing in your sin. You can make mistakes, amen. You can err the mark, but you won't stay there. You won't be a sinner, which is an act is different from a state of being a sinner. Note the tense of the remaineth, which is present tense. The remaineth in him, amen. That seed remaineth in him, in you and I. That word continues to do a work in us. Praise God. What's going to bring you to a body change? It's the word. Right? I hope you don't think it's Biden or even Donald Trump. Amen. They never brought me to anything but a bunch of chaos. Right? But the word will bring me, amen, to a body change. Amen. The word will call the resurrected saints, the saints from the dead. Yes. Amen? Amen. Praise God. The tense remaineth, which is the birth from God, is a fact which still continues, not one that is past and gone. It continues. Amen. Being born again. Yes. Praise God. Yes. the Bible says, being born again. Amen. Now, Brother Branham continues. Now, if, there it is again, if you've got eternal life tonight, if we have eternal life, then we always were.
Amen.
If then. Only if you've got eternal life. Only if you got the new birth. Because there is only one form of eternal life. We always were. And the reason we were, because we are a part of God. How were we a part of God? In the mind of God. In the representation of predestination. And God is the only thing that's eternal. Now, every quote that I just read you, Brother Branham, continues to break that down, that if. Right? And that's what throws people off. They don't see the if part. They just see, I got the seed. Oh, praise God, I saw the message. Thank God. But do you have eternal life? Are you born again? Because if not, then you weren't part of him before the foundation. You weren't in his thinking. You meant to be born again by the word. Amen? And this morning you can be born again. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. If you don't have the Holy Ghost this morning, you can receive it this morning. Amen. You can go here with newness of life. Praise God. Now, we are a part of God. Now we are a part of God. If you have eternal life. You always was. If you have eternal life. Right? You don't remember it. Because you were only an attribute in God.
Yes.
In other words, you were only a thought.
Amen.
Amen. You were only in his thinking.
Yes.
You see how Brother Branham is breaking this down so good? Wake up. Your very name, if it ever was on the book of life, it was put there before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Now, was it written in a physical book? In the mind of God. All that is taken care of. Right? So there was nothing physical back then except God. Right? He knew what you were. Praise the Lord. Someone say if. Amen. I'm only saying this not to mix up doctrine, but to straighten it out. That we might get away from this fear and scare. You don't know who you are. You're not going to be. But now you are the sons of God.
Yes.
See, you always were the sons of God.
Right.
If you have eternal life.
Yes,
if. You can't be a son of God coming at this world. And amen. And you live and live in sin and iniquities and sleeping with everybody in the world and say that I have that seed. There's no way. Christ died in vain then. If you got something, then Jesus Christ would have died in vain if you already came here with something. Then you don't need him. But the fact that you need him is because, amen, you didn't have anything. You were a rank sinner. I know I was. Amen. I was in sin. And that why did David say I was in sin, shaped in iniquity. Come to this world speaking lies. He never said anything about a seed. He never said anything about that I had this eternal life. No, he said I was shaped in iniquity. And you were too. Amen. That's why you did and loved doing the things of the world. Smoking your weed and partying and hanging out and drinking and cursing and sleeping around and wasting time playing video games like I used to. Amen. And sneaking out at nights and doing all kinds of stuff. I'm not giving any young people any ideas. Don't do it. It'll never give you anything good. It's terrible. Some of us already know what that's like. For when God had in you, had, for, when I watch, for when God had you in his thinking, right? At the beginning, you have to be some part of you, your life that's in you now. Now, he's talking to Christians.
Yes.
He's talking to believers that have eternal life. Your life that is in you now. So why didn't he say you had that life back then when you were born? No, it's the life that you have in you now.
Yes.
After you're born again. Yes. Had to be with God before there. Right? Well, when he, before he even become material here on earth, before there was anything but God, you were one of his attributes. In other words, part of his thinking. He knowed what your name would be. He knowed the color of hair you would have. He knowed all about you. The only thing happened is when you, watch, being a sinner. Does it say that? Being a sinner. You were a sinner when you came to this earth. You were not eternal. You being a sinner. What? Being a sinner. Being a sinner. Being a sinner. Being a sinner. Get that in your mind. For those who are still doubting. You were a sinner and you needed God. That's why he had to send his word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Many of you can fellowship with me on this thought. When you was a little boy, this is what I was talking about earlier, or a little girl, you would walk around and there would be a certain things that would just, where it wouldn't bother the other kids. It seemed like there was something in you that cried out, that there was God somewhere, yet you were a sinner. Yet you were a sinner. A sinner is one that fails God. That doesn't believe God's word. Let me put this back in focus. See, he said, he asked here, you remember that? Congregation says amen. Amen. Certainly.
Yeah.
Now, what was that? That was that little form of life in you then. But think now, representation from predestination in God's foreknowledge. That was that form of life. Not something in you. Because you had to receive Christ in you at a later time. I know this might be elemental to some of you, but I hope this is helping. And then, watch. And then after a while, you heard the gospel. You heard the gospel. You heard the gospel. And what is the gospel? And what is the word? The seed. Right? Maybe you went to church. You picked out this and that and went from denomination to denomination. I mean, I love this because it seems like it's talking to me. But one day, you being part of God, because God thought of you in his foreknowledge, right? And he knew that you would come. You being part of the word. And when you heard the word, what? And when you heard the word, you had to hear the word first. And when you heard the word, you know where you come from. Because you didn't know where you come from before then. You had to hear the word first. You know that was the truth. You know that was the truth. Amen. I knew that in the Baptist church they were telling me the truth. When I came into the message, amen, that truth, amen, that they had already established in me at that time, amen, it come to more furtherance revelation of the word, amen, that just sprung something in me, amen. Praise God. You being part of God, you had to be part of the word. When you heard, all right, you were always, the seed was in you always. But what is the seed? And what did Brother Branham said? You had to hear the gospel. Right? At the beginning.
But that it was always because it was eternal. How many believe the word of God is eternal?
Amen.
And what was eternal from the beginning? God. I keep going back to in Genesis 1:1. Amen. Now I put there again, representation from predestination in God's foreknowledge. The word seen the word that was in you. But you had to hear the word first. Get it in you. Then God could come with further revelation and spring that to a new birth in your life. Right? Because anybody that was ever born again had to hear the word first. There is no new birth without the word. Contrary to what anybody will say, you have to have the word, the preaching of the word, in order for there to be new births. Amen. Representation, again, representation from predestination in God's foreknowledge. That was before the foundation of the world. Saw the word and you come to it. If you already had the word in you, you didn't have to come to it. It was already in you. But you had to come to it. Like my little eagle story of how the little eagle, I'm going to just skip this, just for sake of time. But there was something in him, talking about this eagle. Right, representation from predestination in God's foreknowledge. Seemed to be different from that what that chicken was. Because at the beginning, he was an eagle. Right? Praise God. Now, this gets a little hairy, you know, but you didn't. This is what makes people think I came here with eternal life and I'm a Christian and I just kind of recognized it one time. No. You had to receive the new birth. You had to receive eternal life. Then you knew that you were always part of him. Then you knew that you were an eagle. Right. Then you knew that you were a Christian, that you were part of God. Hallelujah. Man, not that you came here as that. You had to receive God first. And what does the changing? What's going to change your body? The word. What changes your soul? The word. What makes you recognize and give you further revelation? The word. It's all about the word. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's right. One day his mama come hunting him, and when he heard that scream of the eagle, in other words, when he heard that word,
Amen.
It was different from the cluck of the hen. And that's the way it is with every born again believer.
Yes. Amen.
He keeps saying born again believer, if you have eternal life. Right. Amen. Because you didn't come as a born again believer.
Right.
You had to come to the new birth. You can hear all the theology you want to and all the man-made discrepancy. But when that word flashes out there, then there is something takes hold. You come to it. Right? You who were once dead in sin. Dead in sin. That life has he quickened. Amen. You were dead in sin. You didn't have anything. You were dead in sin. There has to be a life there to quicken to first. In other words, what does that mean? You have to hear the word first. That's what that means. That's what Brother Branham is talking about. He's not saying that you have already something in you. What is the life? Jesus. What did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what is he? The word. And what is the word? The seed. Amen? There has to be a life there to quicken first. Representation from predestination in God's foreknowledge. God gave you the opportunity to hear the word. God, by his foreknowledge, knowed all things. And we were predestinated to be sons and daughters of God.
Yes.
Ye who were once dead in sin and trespasses. Dead in sin and trespasses. Yes. Wherein we all had our times passed, but hath he quickened.
Amen.
You love the message? Is it nice to read the message?
Amen.
If you haven't ever read it, you're reading it now.
Amen.
Look at Paul. When Paul was a great theologian, but when he come face to face with that word, When he come face to face with that word, what does that mean? He didn't have anything before then. He heard the word. He practiced the law. He did all those good things, but he never came face to face with the word. Jesus, it quickened. In other words, when he heard the word from Jesus first. Paul is amazing because he actually heard the gospel from Jesus first. Jesus gave him that word. Amen. And it did something in his life. He come to life right quick. Why did he come to life right quick? Because he had already had a foundation of the word in him. Because he was ordained to be that. That he was a part of the word. And God allowed the situation to come be. Amen. For him to receive that word. And when the word saw the word, it was his nature. All the clucking of the hands in the Orthodox churches didn't have no effect upon him. He had saw the word. It was part of him. He was an eagle. Now in God's mind, he was always an eagle. But when he saw the word, then he recognized he was an eagle. Right? If they even talked like that back then. Because this terminology is only in our day. Brother Branham was the only one who brought this terminology about being an eagle and all these things. I don't know if they talked like that then. He wasn't a chicken. He was just in the barnyard with them, but he was eagle to begin with. Right? That's the same thing the believer is. There is something in him. What is that something? Representation from predestination and God's foreknowledge. That when he meets God face to face, he comes to himself. That seed is in him and it's quickened. What is the seed? The word. Did you come with the word already in you? No, you have to hear the word. You have to hear the word. And that is what is quickened. Again, I put representation from predestination in God's foreknowledge. My, that's right. And we're almost done. So, and he flies away from the things of the world. They become dead to him. My, I remember we all had our life in the past and those things of the world. But once we got a hold of that real thing. If you had somebody's car maybe going. Amen. But once we got a hold of that real thing. You didn't have that real thing inside of you when you were born. You had to go get a hold of it, of that real thing. Something that quickened us, a little seed that come to life. What was that seed? The word. You had to hear the word first. Correct? Praise the Lord. It's still going. It's not locked. Oh my goodness. Something that quickened us, a little seed that come to life. Representation from predestination and God's foreknowledge. Then all the things of the world rotted right there. We had no more desire of it. All right. So there we'll finish. We'll just bow our heads. Does that make it a little bit clearer? I hope so. You don't have to frown your face and get mad at the preacher when somebody comes up here and says, that germ that was in you, predestinated. You know, there's a lot of ministers in the message that preach that way. We love them. They want to go to the same heaven you do. And there's no need to be critical. Right? You just say amen because you have an understanding of what he's trying to say. Right? Praise the Lord. We love everybody. Jesus loved the sinner. Jesus loved the Pharisee. I believe Jesus loved every one of them. And they didn't all agree and believe just like he did. And so representation of predestination. Very important. You go back. If you need any of these quotes, any of these scriptures, I'll be more than glad to send this file to you. And you can have it all and you study it for yourself. But it's very important for us to know where we're standing in this word, in this message. Amen. And not take things just to take them because they make you feel good. and make you jump and shout and scream and dance the aisles, which is wonderful. I wish I was doing it too. But know where you're standing in the Word. Know where you are in the Word. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Sorry I kept you a little long. Amen. But thank God that the honking of the horn started at the end time. And it wasn't at the beginning or the middle. Brother Don said it won't do it again. All right, we won't have a song. Let's just be dismissed. Lord Jesus, we just thank you once again for the opportunity to serve you, Lord, to open back the pages of your Word, Lord. Lord, the people, I believe, Father God, we're trying to be patient. We're trying to listen, Father. But Lord, I trust that something was revealed to them, Lord God Almighty. Your Word, Father God, is the only thing that can bring, Father God, someone draw closer to you, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord, that this Word, Father, these quotes and these items that were brought out, Lord, that it would just draw them, Father, closer to your Word, Lord. Yes. And not further away from it, Father. Lord Jesus, you brought us clarity in this hour. And you had to send a prophet to do so, Lord Jesus. And we believe this message, Father God, with all of our hearts, Lord Jesus. It's not a message of a man. It's a message of God, Father. Brother Branham, this wasn't Brother Branham's ideas, Lord God. This was what you gave to a vindicated prophet in this hour. And we believe it and we take it, Father, with all of our hearts because it agrees with your Word, Lord. And so, Father, help us to take these things and put them in their right place. And it can only be done, Father, through personal studying and meditating upon your Word, Lord. And with revelation from you, Father, we can know and do and understand all things. Help us not just to be understanding of things, but help us to live your Word, Father God. Help us to receive it in our thoughts, in our hearts, but also to go forth and live your Word, Lord Jesus. Live what we've learned. Granted, Lord Jesus, and we love you, and we just commit the rest of this time into your hands. Bring us back, Father, to our second service, Lord God, to receive from you, Father. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for your glory. Amen. Amen. As you're being dismissed, let's just sing Amazing Grace as you're being dismissed. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.